everybody. Welcome to Steelers.com Live, presented by Xbox One. Xbox One bringing fantasy football to life. I'm Missy Matthews, joined by Bob Labriola and Mike Prosciutto. And guys, it is our last show of the 2014 Steelers training camp. 18th one for Labs and I, Prosciutto. I don't have a total for you, but I know it's
I'll be okay.
Sad,
just
right?
Go ahead. I'll be all right.
Well, more importantly than it's the last show, going home tonight.
Whose car's packed? Raise your hand. Come on.
Not yet.
I don't believe
no,
you.
No, my car's not packed yet.
No, I'll be here tomorrow. I'm still broadcasting on 102.5 DV tomorrow morning, but I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm pretty sure it's not a train. Pretty sure.
Well, it is a gorgeous night here at St. Vincent College. Second day that the Bills and Steelers will be having their joint practice. Practice doesn't get underway until 5:30, so behind us, Bills fans are coming here, Steelers fans, and it looks like we're going to have another great day.
Yeah, it is a great day. Low humidity. It's nice and sunny. Nice breeze. You know, the weather. I don't know that I can ever remember a training camp where it was this cool, this consistently. I think we only had a couple of days over 80 degrees, none that reached 90. And, you know, because we're kind of in a little valley here, the humidity can be really, really bad. But we didn't really have any of those days. I don't know if that makes Mike Tomlin happy or hacks him off. But today we're ending it with maybe the picture postcard day in Westmoreland County.
Yeah, it's like a resort up here. It has been. You know, one thing I didn't do the entirety of camp was check that little heat index thing.
Right,
right. I don't even know if they put it up
right
down at the tent. And you didn't need to bother because
no.
It was just nice.
Yes.
Resort-like conditions.
It'll be another good practice. I know we were kind of getting into that rut where it's just practice, same guys, but another good day. Yesterday was really cool to see kind of two things happening at once, and the guys loved it, that's for sure, and we'll get that again today.
Yeah, one of the things that I kind of enjoyed about yesterday's practice was it seemed to me that the Steelers' defense, I don't know, I won't say came to play because it wasn't a game, but they had a lot of enthusiasm. They were aggressive. They played physical. You know, they had a couple of takeaways against the Bills' first-team offense. Frustrated E.J. Manuel, the Bills' starting quarterback, with their coverages on a couple of occasions. So, you know, I thought that one of the key things that had to happen up here for this Steelers team to become a contender was that this young defense really had to develop an identity for itself, and I think I started to see some of that yesterday.
And I thought they got better as the day went on, whether it was a repeat of a drill or moving on to the next period. I talked to Todd Haley, the Steelers offensive coordinator, afterward, and he thought the same thing about his offense, particularly the running game. First 11-on-11 period, not a whole lot was happening, handing the ball off. Now Le'Veon Bell wasn't involved, and LeGarrette Blount didn't get a ton of carries, but they got better. They kind of found a rhythm. They found their legs in the up-tempo play that was taking place just because it was a joint practice. And I think that's a positive when you can sort of figure it out as you go along and up your level and meet the challenges presented to you. So we'll see if they can do that today. Another part of that was they kept it very simple. The snap count was the same. There wasn't any audibling. There weren't any hand signals. It was just basic line up and play, and the Steelers seemed to be pretty comfortable in that environment as yesterday wore on.
Yesterday after practice, we had a chance to catch up and get the Bills side and talk to quarterback E.J. Manuel. Here's what he had to say.
You're going against the same guys each and every day, and we don't play those guys on Sunday. So, you know, to have an opportunity to go against a different defense and different faces. Obviously, Coach LeBeau is one of the best defensive coordinators in NFL history. So get a chance to, you know, work against him for 2 days. For me personally, to see Big Ben in action, you know, to watch him and see how he prepares for every practice and how he goes in and out from each day is a huge opportunity for me. So I just try to take advantage of it.
Guys, Manuel was very well spoken. He did kind of admit that, yeah, the Steelers defense kind of had it out for them. But that was kind of cool just to see his perspective. And that was unprovoked talking about Dick LeBeau and Ben.
Yeah, the thing about E.J. Manuel, I mean, I remember two combines ago when E.J. Manuel was going to be in that draft class. And the way it works at the combine is, you know, there's a media kind of center and they bring all of the players in, plus coaches, some GMs and all that stuff. And it's a constant revolving door of different people doing interviews on different stages, different areas in that room. And a lot of times interviews are going on simultaneously. These guys are not wearing names or anything. And I remember I was just, you could hear him talking, and he just had a charisma about him. And it was so impressive to me that I actually went and looked him up and who he was. And I thought, wow, this is a guy I think who can, since he is a quarterback, has a lot of what I think could develop into good leadership qualities. And, you know, as you mentioned, Missy, he does express himself very well. I can see where, you know, teammates would want to follow him.
Yeah, and some of the sentiments that he spoke of, talking about Ben Roethlisberger and Dick LeBeau, those were echoed by Bills general manager Doug Whaley, who spent a long time in the Steelers organization. Doug Whaley talked to the media before yesterday's practice, and he said one of the things that he hopes to get out of it for his team is an exposure to the Steelers' toughness and the mentality that nothing short of a championship is acceptable. Doug even went as far as to say that he hopes some of that stuff rubs off on the Bills.
Another cool thing, I went down to the field as practice was ending, and of course, you know, all the media is grabbing players, but Sammy Watkins and other Bills players, EJ Manuel, they were all signing autographs too. Bills fans were kind of forcing their way down to the fences, the kind of lines where guys go up, and you know, they had to jump on a bus and get going, and they didn't have that much time, but that was kind of cool to see. And Bills fans are here, as much as we love to say Steelers Nation takes over, but it's kind of see that joint effort.
Yeah, and you know, where the Bills train is not Buffalo. So, you know, Bills fans, driving to Latrobe is not that much of a imposition in terms of having a chance to see their team play. And, you know, I really don't know what the setup is like at St. John Fisher College, where the Bills train. But, you know, the setup here is...
You haven't been to St. John Fisher for a practice or a game?
No, I have not. No. Have you?
No, I have not either.
Okay, well...
It surprises me, knowing your love of college football.
But the setup here, I think, is very conducive and attractive to fans, starting with the F word, free. And, you know, you have stands, and as we talked about, the weather has been really nice. So it does not surprise me to see Buffalo fans here.
Well, Labs, on yesterday's show, we were talking a little bit about Sammy Watkins. Everybody kind of wanted to see him in action, see him in person. And you were mentioning how Shamarco Thomas was kind of giving him the business, kind of scared him a little bit on one play. So we asked Shamarco about it after practice yesterday. What'd you see from Sammy Watkins today?
Man, a explosive player, man. He's quiet and he's focused, man. A lot of other receivers was talking trash stuff. He was just out there focusing, just ready to work, man. And he got some great talents, man. I was looking at him, man. He's one of the quickest receivers I've ever seen, quick and big.
Did you kind of scare him a little bit maybe on that one play?
I know I did. That's why he dropped it. But, man, I was just playing. But he's a great player, man. I seen him out there one-on-ones getting after it, man. And he's just a competitor.
All right, so two practices with the Bills, day off, kind of walkthrough tomorrow, and then Saturday, of course, the preseason home opener at Heinz Field, which will be good to see. Another game, and a lot of the players, special Will Gate, we talked to him today, said, you know, nice to see him a little bit in practice, get into that feel of a real game. Not that they're actually scrimmaging right now, but to get ready for Saturday.
Yeah, and I think that this is, you know, as preseason games go, a kind of important one. You know, we talked about the importance or the significance of the Steelers avoiding another 0-4 start to the regular season. And let's not forget that last year that was preceded by an 0-4 preseason. So, you know, getting a win under their belts, but doing it within, you know, the script of how they plan to play this second preseason game, I think is important, because what it's going to require is, I think, some efficiency by the first units. And then, you know, the younger guys are going to have to make some plays and do some things to help the team win. And I think you start to need to see these kinds of things developing now. We're halfway through the preseason. September the 7th is coming up fast.
Yeah, and Mike Tomlin pointing out today that some of the more prominent people are going to play a little bit longer. Everything's going to be ratcheted up. You're going to see what you expect to see in the regular season more than you saw against the New York Football Giants. And it's the first home game. Yeah, it's a preseason game. But I think there's always a little bit of a charge for the home team in the preseason, particularly some of these young guys that you mentioned, Lab. They've been to Heinz Field for an OTA, but they're going to see Heinz Field with people in the stands and towels waving and all the kind of color and pageantry that goes along with the Steelers game day. I think that's going to reach a few guys in terms of maybe jumping the energy level up a little bit more than it might have otherwise been.
Well, and today during Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin's press conference, he did go through some of the injuries, and we did find out today that long snapper Greg Warren has been ruled out. He has a meniscus tear. Appears it's probably going to be around 4 weeks. So Coach Tomlin also talked about some other guys that we'll list as questionable at this point who have been dealing with some nagging injuries. So we want to kind of take a look at that list and go down it for you. Rob Blanchflower, Jordan Zumwalt dealing with those nagging injuries, pretty much all of training camp. Jarvis Jones with that groin injury. Ryan Shazier, Coach Tomlin actually admitted, guys, today that the boo-boo that we have been hearing so much about is indeed a knee bruise. Vince Williams not ruling him out yet, but he is dealing with that concussion. So I think that will be, as Coach Tomlin says, an 11th-hour decision.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned, you know, the let me say that this is my word, the disappointment. Ryan Shazier not being able to practice or play in the preseason opener. And, you know, he didn't participate in team drills yesterday. I'll be interested to see, since this is the last day of training camp, whether he's out on the field during team drills. But, you know, when we were sitting here on July 26th talking about disappointing things, and I mentioned Mike Mitchell opening training camp on the physically unable to perform list, he has since been back and been practicing. As we leave, you know, Ryan Shazier, if he's not out on the field today, I think I would shift my disappointment from number 23 to number 50.
Yeah, you know, we talked to Dick LeBeau about a week and a half ago, and he was talking about Ryan Shazier and Stephon Tuitt, and LeBeau said that they were both ahead of schedule. And I think in Ryan Shazier's case, that had been obvious since the start of OTAs. There had been no bump in the road for the Steelers' number one pick, but now there has been one. And I don't know how LeBeau feels about the time frame, but I would look at Ryan Shazier today and say that he is no longer ahead of schedule because he has missed significant time. Not that I think his knee bruise is going to carry over into the regular season and create availability problems there, but he's missing some valuable time, which as a rookie he needs. Even the impressive rookies need to get out there for a large number of snaps in these preseason games.
You know, and the thing about it is that the guy that has been filling in for Ryan Shazier with the starting defense has been Sean Spence, who, if you had to pick a guy out as having an exemplary camp, I think Sean Spence would be on the short list. This is a guy who has not missed a single practice at all, despite having that really bad knee injury in the preseason finale in 2012. He has had no physical setbacks, and this guy is starting to get, you know, his football instincts and legs back under him. And I don't know. I mean, if Ryan Shazier doesn't practice today, if he doesn't play against the Buffalo Bills, you know, I'm not going to say he's going to lose his starting job, but all of a sudden, for the first time since the very first OTA when he was inserted into the starting lineup, I might think that it might be someone hanging in the balance.
And going back to Greg Warren, guys, it's not like teams carry multiple long snappers on there, but Bryce Davis, he is a tight end. He has experience with being a long snapper, and today Coach Tomlin addressed what the plan is for Saturday's game.
We're looking at the possibilities right now in terms of what to do there. But obviously the priority is just simply to get Greg fixed, get a great deal of respect, obviously, for what Greg is capable of and the importance of the position, and we'll address it accordingly.
Who's going to do it Saturday?
That's up in the air. Obviously, we got Bryce Davis. He's a capable guy. And we got some, you know, other candidates that are capable guys and have done it in the past in a variety of fashions, talking about some offensive linemen, short snapping, and so forth. But Bryce is the leading candidate, and really that's what he was brought in here to do. He kind of plays tight end on the side.
Labs, whenever Pursuit and I were kind of listening to Coach Tomlin's press conference after the fact, we were like, which O-lineman? And I think you kind of know who that might be.
Yeah, Cody Wallace would be that guy if, you know, the Steelers would get into a game day situation where, you know, you don't have multiple long snappers available. It would be Cody Wallace. If something happened like it did in 2008 when the Steelers were hosting the defending Super Bowl champion New York Football Giants, Greg Warren tore an ACL in his right knee that in the middle of that game and had to come out. If you remember, the Steelers were winning 14-12 with about 6 minutes left in the game and had to punt from deep in their own territory. James Harrison kind of volunteered for that dude. He snapped it over Mitch Berger's head and out of the end zone. That tied the game. Then there was a free kick that the Giants returned, I believe, over the 50, short touchdown drive, and the Steelers ended up losing that game 21-14. So, you know, as Mike Tomlin also said in his news conference, long snapping is usually something you don't even notice unless something goes wrong. And, you know, that would be an instance of something going wrong. But it would be Cody Wallace if in an emergency situation. And we may even see him do it a little bit against the Bills just to kind of maybe hone his skills at that a little bit.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea, because one guy I don't think it's going to be on September the 7th is Bryce Davis. He has been an interesting guy to watch in this training camp because, as Mike Tomlin mentioned, he does play some tight end, and he gets after it in these drills. I don't think he's Mike Ditka or anything like that, but he battles out there. He plays football, but he's from Central Oklahoma, was not on a roster this past year, 2013, and he spent some time in 2012 on the Bengals practice squad. From what I'm told, he's just not the guy. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I imagine the scouts are pouring over the information as we speak, looking at snap times. They're probably looking at punters. There's a lot to do all of a sudden in terms of the specialists as the Steelers continue counting it down to the Cleveland Browns on September the 7th.
You know, and it's not so easy to find those guys anymore either. You know, the way Mike Tomlin explained it to me was that, you know, you really don't have a lot of these guys in the pipeline, so to speak, because in college now, the punt team does not have to hold itself at the line of scrimmage until the ball is kicked. And so because of that, if you're trying to return a punt, you have to kind of do your blocking when the ball is snapped, as opposed to in the NFL, everybody has to stay at the line of scrimmage until the ball is kicked, except for the gunners. So in college football, you know, you see them do that rugby-style thing where the punter kind of runs to the sideline and kicks it sideways, and they'll have three or four up people in front of the punter. You can't do that in the NFL because you're holding even more coverage guys back to get down the field. So the pipeline for long snappers, you know, it's really not that loaded with talented people. There aren't a lot of them coming out of college anymore because of the college rules. So even if the Steelers, and I believe they're going to have to go into the regular season with the long snapper not named Greg Warren, I don't know that you can find one really easily when teams cut their rosters to 53 on August 30th necessarily.
Will be interesting to see, and we'll keep an eye on that on Saturday. And Mike, as you had mentioned earlier, we are going to see a lot more of the first team. Coach Tomlin said that is the plan, typical, especially for the second preseason game. And he also talked a little bit about his plans of using his backfield duo in Bell and Blunt.
You know, really going to take a similar approach that we took last time in terms of we're going to play everybody that's healthy and capable of playing. We're going to play the first team probably more, obviously, than we played them last time. Really hadn't looked at a snap allocation yet, but rest assured that we want to get more exposure to those guys in this football game. Just a necessary step for us. Obviously, we're excited about doing it at Heinz Field in front of our own fans.
All right, now we're going to hear Coach Tomlin talk about Bell and Blunt.
They're both going to get their share. But in terms of the details or anything more detailed than that, no, we'll deal with that on a game-by-game basis based on the plan, based on the health of the men, and a lot of other variables, obviously. But we got a great deal of confidence in both guys. Both guys are going to be central reasons why we're successful. That's the plan, and I think they're open to that.
And it was kind of hard to see, Mike, the Steelers' plan for those two. I mean, yes, we've seen it in practice, but the first game, it was really just that first drive with Ben where we really saw a lot of both of them.
Yeah, but it's interesting to see the way they did it, even in a brief snippet such as we saw in that Giants game. And it's going to be fascinating, I think, to see how they're able to distribute the load at running back. And I talked with Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount after the Giants game, and they both mentioned, hey, three of us touched the ball on the first four offensive plays, including Dre Archer in the mix. Nobody seems concerned about carries. One of the things I'd heard about LeGarrette Blount when the Steelers signed him was that some people around the league thought that he wasn't necessarily the most enthusiastic or happy of campers when he wasn't the quote-unquote guy. But he has not been that guy here in Pittsburgh. He and Le'Veon Bell became fast friends. I think it took about a week into the offseason program, and they really enjoy having each other around and splitting the load. Le'Veon Bell is not one of these guys who says, I have to have X number of carries and X number of catches. And Bob, it's already been suggested to me. I was watching an OTA on the south side, and somebody who works for the organization came up and pointed those two guys out and said, imagine that 1-2 punch in a bad weather game in December, hammering away, hammering away, hammering away. And I started to imagine that, and it was a pretty appealing picture.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned how Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount are friends. We certainly saw that firsthand at Friday Night Lights during that backs on backers drill. I mean, you know, one guy got put on his back and the other guy came to his defense and rapidly.
Without pads on.
But, you know, Mike, you mentioned that these guys aren't concerned about carries. I think the only person who might be concerned about carries a little bit is Mike Tomlin. I don't know that, you know, I think he knows, or he thinks he knows what he has in these guys, and you don't want to beat them up in preseason games. You want to kind of get some rhythm maybe established with the running game, but you don't want to have to do it by giving these guys the ball 12, 15 times, you know, in a game that doesn't count in the standings. I think they want to save them for, as you mentioned, bad weather games in December, you know, hopefully with some playoffs or home field advantage in the playoffs possibly at stake. So, you know, I don't know that we're going to see a lot of them carrying the ball against the Buffalo Bills, but I like the way that they're working together and the, kind of the way that this running game is developing.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for us here. The last time at St. Vincent College, Mike, you can cry now because we're going to be off air soon. But thanks so much for joining us all throughout camp and joining us on Steelers.com Live presented by Xbox One. For Bob and Mike, I'm Missy. We will see you on Monday at 4 p.m. in the south side of Pittsburgh. Sounds weird to say that. We haven't said that in a while. And also Saturday after the game against the Bills, Tunch and Wolf will be joining you for our postgame show. So thanks so much, and we'll see you soon.